We're going to continue today listening to the role play segment of pastoral counseling between Pastor Bowles and our good lady Mrs. Johnson. What we're presenting here is the formal session between Mrs. Johnson and the pastor. It's session 8, and in this session you will hear how the pastor tries to end the relationship and put things back together as they were before they ended the counseling relationship. You'll recall that Mrs. Johnson is a 27-year-old housewife with 3 children who has had a problem of being depressed and not too easy to live with. And she's been working with her pastor at that for a while now. You recall in the last segment, we were playing of this role play. Mrs. Johnson had confessed some positive feelings toward her pastor that were troubling to her, and you recall how the pastor handled that. Let's pick up here as Mrs. Johnson comes into her pastor's office for session 8, her last session.
Well, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you, too.
This is the eighth hour.
Better about that. I got married ability to have a foundation. Sometimes stop myself before doing what used to be my first reaction.
Yeah, really. The family looking at the disaster with food. They see that on their pillow, in a chair, kind of glad to come out of the food. How do you feel about doing that?
Yeah. I don't know, you talk a few times a day about. Kind of doing something. It seems to be working a little bit. Because one night I sat down and watched the baseball game with him and I asked him a few questions about it. And then he seemed to think I was interested. I think it's a good baseball game. And then he said that was. That was really different. It was really practical. Parent teachers group at school and at school. living with them, and they're leaving for our families and all that. Involved in the community and the cooking community. And I just like to see if we got it.
So they're good, aren't they?
Yeah, they're good. I don't know.
I think it's really important thing for you to see what the situation is and see the problems that you've got and not my story. And I think you've made some progress in this direction. It's just a thing that it's important for you to keep on working the side. It's a thing to do, the thing that's really going to keep on going. You're putting this out together, you're picking up some of these things, and I'm happy to see it because I'm real hopeful about the situation.
And you said that you keep on doing it by yourself?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, do you agree with that? Do you have any kind of confidence with it?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm
And there are a number of things that you've tried and that you can build on here that could make the situation a lot better. Well, it seems to me that we've made some progress here, which is made me feel real good. Let me see what that means.
Yeah, no, don't talk to that. You're just going to be very happy for me.
Are you able to see what's going on about the students?
Yes, I think so.
It's kind of an interesting thing here because it's not so easy to go through it from my experience and to come face to face with it, but when you handle it properly, it really doesn't do work.
Yeah, you certainly don't have any control over how you feel.
Seems to me that we've been moving something, and what do you think? Do you think you can take it from here?
I'd like
to try. That's good. I was having one to do our last session, and it's been a good experience for me. It seems to me that some of the things that I've seen with the family have made me hopeful. I think I've seen some signs in this village, and some of the relationships with you and Joe and the family, I think is sort of an evidence to me, and that's a good thing. And so we've had an interesting kind of grueling experience at some times, and to go through this and to come very close together, but through the last session then, I'll go back to being pastor of the congregation, and you go back to being Mr. Johnson, that's right.
Okay, what time is it?
Okay, Judy.
So much for pastor and his family. What he's doing is summarizing and putting it together, kind of going through her a checklist again of the complaints she had offered in earlier sessions and seeing where everything was, so nothing was left unnoticed or hanging in there. It's interesting to see how differently she feels about herself and how differently she sees the problem, which, at the risk of sounding pedantic, is what we were talking about in the series, the feeling and the content, and the cognitive aspect and the emotional aspect. She does see a problem differently. A lot of it's still there, isn't it? Joe has not turned into a romantic lover on a wife's heart. He's still reading the TV show. He's given her a little attention in response to the attention she's given him. Good Judy feels a lot differently about herself. Part of the biggest change is not an out there kind of change, the biggest change is an inside kind of change.
Mm-hmm. That's the theme that comes through consistently in all her discussion about Billy doing better, girls are doing better, things are better with Joe. She consistently says, oh, I feel better about myself, and I think that has something to do with it.
You have the feeling that she's got both feet on the ground, the fact that she's not saying everything is, she realizes that they've got some problems that she can live with it now.
Mm-hmm.
And she's ready to do that, and she's hopeful that she can do it.
Mm-hmm. One interesting thing, Tessa did right there at the end, almost in a very offhand fashion, he offers this group of couples. I think that's beautiful. And that's one of the real pluses of Tessa content. Well, first of all, they said, you can't do that. And they said, well, now we go into group therapy, and that's why she said, no, you've got to be here at this time, that's not any fun.
And we have to go to another agency to do it.
Yeah. The pastor, with the resources of his congregation, wanted to create a group of people, Joe and Judy's age, and similar problems, similar interests, and he can suggest that they might be involved with that. Which would give them a little, something a little more going for them, the possibility of forming maybe another close bond with another couple, which could be very helpful to them.
Earlier, Judy mentioned that she's gotten involved with her kitchen committee for this dinner, and I think it's wise not to underestimate the value of something like that for her alone. It gets her out of the house, it gets her with other women, it involves her in a situation where she has to do something.
Doing something she feels comfortable doing, you're talking about.
Right.
I like part of her finalizing statement, I can do it by myself. Which comes to you, I don't know, but it's not a four-year-old, you know, I'd rather do it myself than do it my own. And the pastor is stepping into a teacher role again and saying almost in so many words, you know, girl, it's not the feeling, it's what you do with it in that time. The feelings are going to be there, recognize them, deal with them, which is, again, good emotional education for people. His attempt to get back into the pastoral role was not overly elaborate, but it was probably adequate to the situation. This was an 8-session conferences, and there had been some closeness, but I have the feeling Mrs. Johnson doesn't want to continue that closeness. She's quite ready to have him step back into the pastoral role and put the distance between them that had existed before. Her says, but Claudia Judy just says, we'll remember that this happened, but maybe go back to where it was.
The whole sense of some distance is really evident throughout the whole case. It's evident in the kind of measured conversation, and it's evident in the comfortable pauses, but there are numerous silences. And it's evident in Judy's responses. Yes, I think things are getting better. She's not an even tenor. She's not up and down emotionally as she was at the beginning. And you really do sense, I think, more intuitively than anything else, but they're putting the lid back on the back, or drawing the fence around the contract and finishing up, cleaning it up in a neat little package.
The door was left open high. If he had strongly wanted to continue, listening to the tape, you see that there was probably more opportunity to allow her to want that than it could have been. I picked this up on several occasions saying, let's see then whether we need to go on. Now, that I think could come back to haunt you. At the end, there was a statement about, I guess I left this up to her. Do you think this is it? And I wonder if that could not, under some circumstances, cause some problems. It may be true if you realize who you're working with. But a person who really wanted to hang on could pick up on both of those and make a case out of it.
I think if you were dealing for 8 hours with somebody who really wanted to hang on, you'd know that pretty quick. And what you might start doing then about session three would be reinforcing the termination date of the contract. And you say, well, now this is session three, and that means we are today, and then we have a few more to go, and then we're going to quit, aren't we? And you might be aware of that, and using this act just a little differently. If you got the message that here the person is going to continue.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I think the open doors are appropriate for many people. You get the feeling with Mrs. Johnson that she may call the pastor again in a few months, not for herself, but for Mary Johnson. And that could be entirely appropriate, her and Joe coming to see the pastor with a new contact then.
Mm-hmm.
After some time of consolidation and working to get her own self together, to keep her own self together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's switch our focus for a minute now and see if we can come up with what each of us would consider to be, I guess, the main problem area in pastoral counseling. When you and Sarah found out, what would you see as a really major discovery in doing pastoral counseling like this?
Well, I think a major difficulty that, again, as an outsider, because I haven't been involved in the pastoral counseling, but I think as an outsider, one of the major difficulties would be the difference between evaluating the behaviors of a person and being able to help after that evaluation and judging them. By judgment, I mean being able to help the person with some sense of what's right and what's wrong. I think there's a very thin line between those two, judgment and evaluation. And I think it must be very hard to do.
This would be a difficult thing for the pastor to do.
Yeah.
And for him to communicate to people what he's doing. Hmm? I see this is a very real problem. And some of them, he could ask the pulpit and says those things about sin and what's right and what's wrong. And then I remember he's supposed to be a with a person in a non-evaluative way.
Right. I think the concept is, how do you accept somebody? How do you show the non-judgmental feeling? And still, in your role as a pastor, how do you help someone understand that there is a right and a wrong, or there can be those kinds of limitations?
I think the way to do it is to talk about it, Tom. With the counselor, and say to the person, I have opinions about this, and so does our church, and Christian theology has an answer, an ethical answer to your question, and I'll give you that sometime. Right now, we're going to deal with the feelings about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to deal with where you are with it. And
I think another thing a pastor can do is assume, you can very frequently assume that people share his ethical position. And that really, the first time I talk to him to ask him for pastor counseling, that he doesn't have to feel that what they need is election morality. Although there are times when that's what they're doing.
You assume that many people will come, assuming they've done something wrong by the standards of society or the church or both of those. They know they've done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're coming. Mm-hmm. And they don't need to hear that repeated. What they need to hear is somebody sitting down with them and saying, well, why is it wrong? What do you think led you into it? How do you feel about that? Do you think you can change? How can you change?
What can you do,
what can you do differently?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Al, would you have a pattern area you can share with
us? I think the pastor's own expectations are saying that he sees that he, in the back of his mind, sees as a thing that ought to happen, coupled with the fact that he better realize that he's not going to change this person. No matter how much he wants the outcome to be a certain way, that's not going to happen until that person gets to the point where they want it to happen that way. I think probably I'd take that as the major topic.
Kind of the realization of his own limitation in it, but that's how thing. Or of anybody's limitation. We're not just talking about the pastor. When I hear pastors talking about the problems they consider most difficult to deal with, frequently they are the problems that are most difficult for any pastor to deal with. And you can have the best psychoanalyst in the world, and you couldn't stand some of the people that pastors try to
The limitation here is not a negative, bad kind of view or judgment upon a professional person. It simply says that there are some things we can do and there are some things we can't do.
And I think the pastor looks at the person who may really be hurt and they feel that he sees some things that could happen to take away some of that hurt, to right things. And when that doesn't happen, maybe it's partly because of the expectation that the pastoral role has about it. That failure in this is really a pretty serious failure. And that this mm-hmm. becomes a thing that he personally then takes upon himself as a lack of maybe faithfulness or competency as a pastor.
I think that's a problem that some people will have with some of the things we set out along, talking about limited contract. You know, a time limited contract, I was in for 8 hours, for 10 hours, for 12 hours. Because pastors seem to have a high value on position and sticking with it. And for us then to pontificate and suggest that they ought not go out there for more than 12 hours at a time is a way of saying that. This little group of people here doesn't really value persistence all that much. Hmm? And maybe there's a kind of value clash between the three of us and other pastors and other workers who would set a high value on persistence.
I think all the way through we've wanted to say persistence is important and valuable, but you have to balance that with an understanding that the counselee has some responsibility too.
Mm-hmm.
That we can't do it for somebody.
I see this like trying to steer a nut on a boat, and when you get this first time, you shift the thread, you can turn and turn and don't get your place. And maybe that's what you have to do with the
counselor. Well, with that kind of a beautiful illustration, I think we'll conclude this series. We'll be talking with Mrs. Mona Cutberg, Lucy Family Service, social worker, and with Reverend Al Bowles, Pastor Bethel Church, and Dr. Bethel. Continue listening now to
the role play counseling session between Mrs. Johnson and Pastor Bolt, you will recall that we are getting toward the end of the fifth interview between Mrs. Johnson and the pastor. She has just disclosed something that was rather difficult for her to talk about, namely her feelings towards the pastor, which she labels as romantic and feels badly about. It is this discussion now that we want to pick up and continue with the role play situation between Mrs. Johnson and the pastor.
Well, I think I think this is not the third one, actually. This is a fifth session we've done. We've included the situation, and I don't really see that this is such a total unnatural thing. I think what's important is that it didn't get in touch with how we're feeling, but I think it's important what we do is there. I don't think that this is going to give me a great deal of time, and I wouldn't want it to keep giving me a time. I think we ought to try to get through it. Can you say a little more about why you feel forgiven about this?
Well, I guess this guy is kind of thought that you probably should have to be, got my husband about that kind of thing. And you're a pastor.
That's kind of makes me something different. I can understand that. But it makes you feel you feel your responsibility is more. I really understand that, but this is part of it. You feel he's not good to each other. And you think these thoughts are not helping you out on it.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not saying I could let it be the same feeling for death, but I probably should.
You said when you watched when you first got very well, you had been. You're a big fan of that time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to interrupt here and say that I think our pastor's doing a good job partly because he's not saying everything he's thinking. I think he's having thoughts, but he's keeping to himself thoughts that he really doesn't need to show. Okay? He's saying some very good words, like, words that she can hang on to, if necessary. When she first makes the disclosure about the romantic part, she says, "This is not unnatural." See, that's a beautiful word. Mm-hmm. That really gives her something to hang on to. And he goes on then to explain how they have been working closely together, and it is a kind of unique, different sort of relationship. As we said earlier, this sort of thing doesn't happen all the time to people, and it evokes some.
What are the things that you're suggesting he's not saying and won't share with her?
Well, I would imagine one line of thought that ran through his mind as he listened to her was she's feeling like she's being disloyal to her husband. Or maybe even an awful word, a really loaded word, like unfaithful to her husband by the feelings that she has for her pastor. And rather than judge all that up, which doesn't seem to be in consciousness for her at this point, it could be, if he'd say it, she'd probably acknowledge it as recognizable as hers, but he's not looking to do that. He's working at her level. That's what I like. That's what's so beautiful about it.
He's not letting his own feelings about himself come into this either. That is, it might be possible to be flattered.
His need to be expert, his need to be right about it, and none of that seems to be included.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Letting her work at her level and being responsive to her rather than needing it. And I thought that was pretty good. Let's pick it up again.
No, that's the thing that we can look for. Because you and I both know that nothing can really come of these two. That's just not that kind of situation. And I guess I have to say that it's kind of confident to me. I hear you say that kind of thing, and I'm sensitive and that sort of thing. Can't really go that much. But it is that an interesting thing. This sort of thing that you felt good about until some time back. Can you get in touch with that again?
I don't know if Joe has seen what I look for in a man or not. I don't know if he has his substance. I don't think
he's going to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, our feelings are, I think, an interesting thing. You're working your way out of this, and you found a bit of freedom, and there's an interesting target, some really good target. I think this is good. And I suppose that for some kind of relationship to you, and the kind of feelings that you have, it's part of the feeling that you want to have, and I think that it's probably the wrong direction. I think you want to direct this another way and try and turn it in a different direction. But I really want you to feel guilty about this. I think it's good that you can say to yourself, this is the kind of feeling I've got. It's a real feeling. And now what are we going to do with it? That's a big question.
Yeah, I think Joe is saying it too. You know, what you need to know, you just need to care about me. Not that way, no.
Well, Joe is going to tell you.
Yeah, and you both are.
Interesting. Can you think of anything that you can do to improve skill to be more comfortable? If tonight when you came home from work, you met him at the door and came to deal with the
parents with you.
Okay, so you introduced the question, what could you do differently in a slightly modified form? Her reaction is almost, oh my goodness, I never thought of anything like that before, isn't it? And that's what this is going to do. She had been thinking about her problem in only one way. What Joe does, or doesn't do, or how are you?
And it's two very different questions. The counselor keeps her from falling off the deep end into staying with that way of thinking. He says that was it only Joe who changed, and she says, yeah, I guess it was both of us. And then goes on to what could she do differently. Well, there's no nice touch.
Yeah. And she evaluated the problem as a lack of sensitivity on his part and inability to show tenderness to her. My guess is she doesn't show great guys of tenderness to him.
Mm-hmm.
It would probably be some resistance at this point, at least a little resistance, to go into that too. What's my role in this?
Because it makes her look like the heavy, huh?
That's right. It's not all
you're right, because taking the other step means that she has to say to herself, well, I need to change in some way. I need to do something differently.
But see how much differently this, what can you do differently, sounds to her now than it would have sounded in session one. You know, we were directing what somebody might do at the end of session one by saying the problem is that you say you do this and that and everything will be fine. And you could have said to her at the end of session one, well, your problem is this, girl, what can you do differently about it? And I think you would have met a great deal more resistance than you did at this point. Partly because the valuing process has been going on for close to 5 hours now. And that has had an effect. So open her up to the point where she can hear it and think about it as a real option. What could be different?
And she can laugh and she can say, you know, too, if I met him at the door with a beer, he'd think he was in the wrong house, which is a tacit admission that no, she hasn't been doing that. She could have been doing her all that she maybe wanted to do.
She's holding back from her.
Mm-hmm.
That she probably wouldn't have been ready to admit at the end of session one.
I'm not sure she's ready even to say it in this session that, yes, some of what's been going on is my fault. I'm not sure she could say it in those words, but she can admit it in a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to hear it in a joke.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can you hear?
You just asked the phone.
Well, it might be what the problem is. We didn't really tell you. You know, you guys go a lot better than I do. And if you better work at this from your part, do you think of anything that you can do that might help Phil in the way you feel and the way you feel?
Yeah. Maybe that kind of thing you're talking about. You know, meeting with the door at the time of year. Just,
Think you're able to do that?
Mm-hmm.
I think
maybe I could do kind of
stuff. If you sat down, watching the baseball game, there's a game on at 8 o'clock, and you sat down beside him and, feeling now that he might be something. You think that Joe is to feel at all what Joe might be feeling?
Mm. Well, I guess I wouldn't that much about him. How Joe feels about him. Because I just don't think he didn't feel at all.
Mm-hmm. It might just be pretty important if he had really felt that you are making an effort to establish a relationship. I think it would be a real interesting thing to try. I'll be the eyes to feel what happens
next
week. Okay. Are you going to be in the next one?
I'll be in the next
one. Okay. You're going to see the next one for that at I think we've made some progress today. I think it's important that we get out this idea of feelings. You know, there's so much in our lives that has been telling us that somehow or another we ought not to hide the feelings that we have, but just getting these feelings in yourself as well. And I think it's pretty important that we know these feelings, that we can get out in the open, and then know what to do with them. And I think the idea is that I think it's making progress. And we have hope for this situation. So I look forward to seeing you next time, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Bye, Mr. Johnson.
We assigned a little homework and really write right at the root of the problem kind of homework this time around, isn't it? To show some tenderness and sensitivity to her husband. She has to realize that he makes a suggestion that there's something she hasn't been doing. I wonder if we could talk for a couple minutes about this kind of thing that we've portrayed here between Mrs. Johnson and the pastor, where because of the closeness of the conflict situation, feelings arise on the part of the counselor that are very troubling about the counselor. I think that happens. I think it interferes with the counselor. I think if a pastor counselor in this situation had not stuck with her on this and listened very carefully to the words she was dropping when it came to disclosing this difficulty she was having, it might well have been the end of the conference. What do you think, Anna?
Might have been the end of the conference because the feelings were so frightening to her?
Mm-hmm. It was too much. She didn't work because she was preoccupied with her own feelings about the conference.
Yes, besides that, she had a little voice inside her that said, you shouldn't, you mustn't have these feelings, and besides that, you're not being loyal to your husband if you have them. So that if it hadn't been worked through, she would have been stuck in the box of thinking that if she went on this counseling, she would have perhaps been harming her marriage more than she was helping it.
And at the same time, the counselor could very subtly encourage this kind of thing.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's not the thing that would be in the counseling situation and probably something else.
Mm-hmm.
But it could happen very easily and maybe very unconsciously.
That's why the importance of getting it out, I could imagine this counseling continuing for a while. When I said that the counseling would stop, I meant the process would stop. The sessions would continue. Very likely, to the end and maybe way beyond the 8 sessions the original contracted for, in order to keep these two people together so that they could very subtly pleasure each other. There are actually a possibility. And it doesn't do anybody any good. If our pastor was on to what she was feeling, and he probably would be, because this is this shows in ways other than verbalizing, the way she brightens up when he looks at her. The little extra attention that she takes to her appearance or grooming or her perfume or something might begin to give him clues about what sort of thoughts she's entertaining. And that could go on quite a while without coming on in the open, like he's got it. What would you do if this didn't take care of it? If she came back the following week and said, those awful feelings I had about you, Pastor, well, I had 6 dreams during the last week that really got sort of purple, and I find myself even more preoccupied with you. It's getting to the point where I don't want you to even get close to me anymore. Then what do you do? I asked that quite a question because I had quite an answer to it.
I think you have to ask yourself, as the counselor, the question now, is this a manipulation of me? Is the counselor trying to play games with me? If you answer that question yes, sometimes it's appropriate to bring it out into the open, to say, I wonder if you aren't trying to play a game, what's the game all about?
And the theme would be about resistance, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You see, thinking nice, tender, warm, soft, sweet-smelling thoughts about the pastor as a man is much more pleasant thing to do than it would be to
to think about all the painful beliefs about me changing.
Right.
Is this supposed to key in a certain professional attitude that the counselor keeps? We talked about this on one of the tapes, that it's pretty important here that there are just those things set up. For example, we're together for 1 hour. This is not a 3 hour siesta, but this is a 1 hour period. This is the office, and while this is a very personal, pastoral kind of thing, it is also, we're in business here together for a specific purpose, and that purpose is not the one that seems to be coming up tonight.
Mm-hmm. I think there are also some other things that the pastor can do if her perception of what he's up to gets increasingly distorted. If she sees him as a lover, and this gets to be a difficulty for her, one reason this happens is because the counseling relationship is lopsided. She's bringing all the input.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about her and her feelings. And he remains kind of hazy and, if anything, neutral. If her perception of him gets badly out of line, then perhaps it's time to change this relational thing a little bit and balance it a bit more by being more input from his own life. If what we had imagined before was her test, if in session interview 6 with Mrs. Johnson, she continued to have a great deal of difficulty and talked at length about her preoccupation with him and her feelings of love for him and her really elaborate fantasies about him. At session 7, he better have a picture of his wife. He could be on the desk somewhere. And he might spend 20 minutes of that hour talking about his day-to-day life, his wife, his children, his interests, so that he becomes a bit more real as a person, and her imaginings about him then have to reduce somewhat.
What do you do in a case where a person like this is really only trying to see whether they're lovable? This woman feels very much rejected at home and may feel, you know, it's not possible for somebody else to respond to me. I'm going to try this out. Is this a possibility that this could happen, that it's really a probing to see, will somebody react to me, and then how do you deal with that?
You've been reacting to her all along as a person. Man-woman attraction is something a little different than what you're offering. Huh? What you're offering her, I think, is very, very valid and an answer to that question, can anybody care about me, can anybody love me, can anybody pay attention to me? And your rather solid answer to that as the pastor is yes, you know, as this is what your whole counseling does. It's very close, I think, to what we talked about and I talked about earlier, valuing a person. To sexualize this whole thing is really to not enhance it, but to reduce it. To put it on a merely sexual basis, man-woman basis, is to, I think, constrict it and put it in. If she were to verbalize this kind of a concern, probably be the time when you would really have to open this box up and go into it a little bit and help her to see that she has a value as a person, she has a value as a woman, but she has a value as a person, and that's what you're working with. And that she is a woman is not something that can be experimented with really in this relationship. Her as a person can be.
What you're underlining then is that there are two options which are not open to the pastoral counselor in this situation. The first option is to let oneself be seduced. That's not an option. You can't let it happen. And the second thing that you can't let happen is that you can't be frightened off and run away from it. You can't say something to Judy Johnson so that she'll stop talking about the situation. You've got to help her work through it. And all the while, valuing her as a person and letting her know that.
Did we answer your question?
I think, yes. Yeah, this is the answer to it.
Adding to the reality of your own personhood would be one thing to do. If that doesn't work, sharing other things about yourself, spending 20 minutes of the next hour talking about you as a real person, if that doesn't reduce the distortion that she has of you, then maybe you got to go back to the authority thing and say, well, this really can't happen, nothing can happen. You're just building frustration for yourself. And I wonder, Mrs. Johnson, if you're also camping out on a trap or such that, which is very highly likely.
You could, in the conversation, show her to go down this road, to go down a blind alley. It's not going to be helpful. It's going to be destructive rather than helpful, and so we've got to take a different direction.
Also, he's got himself pretty well in hand at this point, to be able to handle this kind of stuff.
I think you have to know your own feelings about people and about certain kinds of people. And you have to not be afraid when somebody tries to seduce you. Because it'll happen. Karen Pettigrew, I wonder if we need to make a comment about the fact that, not all relationships will get romanticized. Sometimes a counseling relationship gets distorted because of what the counselee sees as anger coming from the counselor, because of anger feelings, or because of great wishes to be dependent and have somebody else give the answer. That's not true in this role playing case. In this case, it's a romantic kind of thing. But
I think a romantic thing is called a dependent, don't you?
I wish to have someone give me answers and take care of.
Peter Johnson, would really like to attach herself to the good pastor, because then she wouldn't have all this time.
So I think in this case, too, the woman has been married long enough to have come up against some disillusionment, and perhaps the pastor represents another white knight. And in that sense, it's a dependent and a romantic decision.
It's probably worth mentioning that in this situation, it's possible that there will be some relationship throughout the week before that next Wednesday. It may not necessarily be that the pastor won't see her again until the next Wednesday. This is probably more likely to happen than with another counseling situation. And that probably could be said that how the pastor reacts in those situations, he could very easily give her the feeling that he was afraid of her. At the same time, that relationship is going to say something too about the way he sees this whole thing. Or he could play with it. That's right.
Take your hand a little harder and send it in again.
He's having difficulty enough, and he could be professional with her. That's right. If you want, two things, but a little bit different. Okay. We can listen to a role play situation between Mrs. Johnson and the cancer, and commenting on some of the aspects of this case.